Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show, where we don't rely on any other human beings to fill our airtime, least of all you. You don't have to call in and carry the show. You work hard all week. Maybe you don't care to watch the news. Maybe you're not a masochist, and you just don't want to sit through it and be brutalized by it all week. And so I take it upon myself to look in on things that, in many cases, shouldn't even be looked upon. And I do it for you. Actually, mostly it's for me, just to rant and rave and to get it out of my system. Anyway, the quote of the month. Let's start out with the quote of the month for the month of November 2021. The prosecutor at the Kyle Rittenhouse trial said something like this. Mr. Rittenhouse, why did you feel it was necessary to run to downtown Kenosha? To which Kyle Rittenhouse responded, there was a fire. Okay. Score one for Mr. Rittenhouse. We'll get back to that. But I want to start, well, I already started, so there. Now I just want to continue. While Joe Biden was having a virtual meeting with Xi Jinping. Why? Because Joe Biden's still scared. Still got his mask on. Still got his little binky, his face binky. So he's scared. So he had a virtual meeting with Xi Jinping, the Chinese dictator on the verge of global conquest. And at the very moment they were meeting and talking and chatting and being nice, Chinese warplanes violated Taiwan's air defense zone yet again. The 14th such mocking intrusion since the beginning of, what, the Biden administration? No, not just since the beginning of the Hyde-Barris administration. No, just since the beginning of this month, the month of November 2021, in which Kyle Rittenhouse did score the quote of the month. And Joe Biden didn't even make it on the board. All right, so there you go. That's from the politics file. We move then. I want to update you on a story we covered quite some months ago. Remember all the wildfires in California? Do you remember? Everybody remembers, right? It was global warming! Global warming! Yes, the Dixie Fire. Remember? The Ranch Fire, the Conrad Fire. All those fires! It's global warming! It's everybody. Turns out it was a college professor. From the University of California system, Gary Stevens Maynard, 47, now faces prison. For arson on federal property is the official charge. The arson spree included blazes he started in July and August, following crews that were fighting fires that had already been started by climate change. Actually, the Dixie Fire was started by lightning, which, of course, that's never happened before in the history of mankind. It must be global climate change. Global climate change combined with psychopathic college professors, by the way, Gary Stephen Maynard, 47 years old, was a lecturer on criminal justice specializing in cults and deviant behavior. That was before he went on an arson spree and his face is allegedly, we don't, it could have still been climate change. In fact, the defense will probably mount a defense of climate change. And they'll say it wasn't our defendant, it was climate change. All right, we go from there to the widespread insanity file, where the United States government is about to kill more than 100 children for every child it allegedly saves from the cold virus that has recently been dubbed the COVID virus, which we just need to call it a cold virus now. And unless you want people to just be afraid of it forever. Because we could just say now it's a cold virus. And if you're really out of shape and you're in bad physical condition, you're really old, it could kill you like any other cold virus. But anyway, the CDC's own documentation says that the proposed plan to vaccinate children, I said, against a cold virus, which is insanity, I need to calm down already, and I just got started. They will kill over 5,000 children in order to save allegedly 45 from dying from what they call now the coronavirus. Now it's back to coronavirus? What? Are we done with COVID virus? Is that? Are we going back to corona? Is that scarier? Anyway, for every one child allegedly saved from a cold virus, 117 will be killed by the shot. That's according to data. They do a risk analysis evaluation. I'll link to the story because I don't have time to cover it all. But this mRNA shot fails any honest risk-benefit analysis, according to the Gateway Pundit. I will link to it. It's obvious. This is insane, the idea of vaccinating children against a cold virus. Please, have you people lost your minds? And what's scary is a significant plurality, if not a majority of people, are going to go along with it. Which, well, I guess we'll just leave that aside and just let you ponder the enormity of that. The fact that most people are going to go along with this. Or at least a significant enough plurality that those of us who haven't lost our mind can do virtually nothing about these parents killing their own children. Which we have a track record of that, by the way, of not being able to do much about parents who kill their own children. Now, from there, we go to the big dumb war file, where you may or may not have heard in the last couple of weeks that a group of Iranian-backed terrorists stormed the U.S. Embassy in Yemen and took some people hostage, mostly Yemenis, but employees of the embassy, the United States Embassy, the American Embassy. You may or may not have heard about that because it wasn't a very popular story because that doesn't go over well. I mean, it's already too much like the 70s as it is. The last thing we need is an Iranian hostage crisis. So that pretty much fell off the front page of the news. I can't find out what's going on with it because apparently it's been blacked out. You're not allowed to report on it. Or maybe the terrorists let everybody go and they're all having a campfire right now making s'mores. Maybe that's what's happening. So there's just not much to report. That could be. But this brought my attention to a story documented by LegalInsurrection.com about the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps has plans. It has plans to address some of its shortcomings. And, you know, every organization has shortcomings. And the best way to improve your organization is to assume that there are shortcomings, to figure them out, to assess them, and then to correct them and to improve on them. That's how you improve the performance of an organization. Boy, I could work for a bureaucracy. I sound like a bureaucrat right there. Anyway, the Marine Corps has plans for a big overhaul designed to address its lack of diversity. We plan a cultural shift for the Marines to reflect America, to reflect the society we come from. Unquote. That's General David. Dave, I think they just call him now, over there. He's the commandant of the Marine Corps. I never liked that, commandant. That sounds a little too German. I mean, the Marines, we don't have to prove we're tough. We slaughtered the Germans in Belleau Wood. Why did we have to adopt commandant? We piled Germans up like cordwood, embarrassingly, as far back as World War I. Anyway, he's the commandant of the Marine Corps, General Dave. And Dave says it's not a matter of being politically correct. It's not a matter of being woke. It's not that. The core of America's strength lies in its diversity. And that's the same that's true for its military. Unquote. That's General Dave, the commandant of the United States Marine Corps. Just sad and embarrassing and sad. Meanwhile, deeper into the big dumb war file, we go to Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen. Deputary. That's right. Deputary Secretary. No, what are we? Deputary Sacrifice of. I don't. Sometimes when you step all over your words, it's because you can't comprehend what's going on. Deputy, I can't even say it. Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen. We have a report from CNN, directly from Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen, who reports that, talking about U.S. military readiness, she warns that we are not where we should be. That's right. And now, says Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen, now is beyond the time when we need to get in front of the challenge. That's right. And she says, by the way, CNN reports dutifully that Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen is the first woman to hold the Pentagon's number two position. That's right. She says that the problem we need to get out in front of, the challenge, she says, is the crucial conversion to electric vehicles of all of our military vehicles. It's a crucial conversion to electric vehicles, says Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen. By the way, the first woman to hold the Pentagon's number two position. Well, I would agree with CNN on the number two part of her description there. But it's on now to the important issue of the crucial conversion of all of our military vehicles over to electric vehicles so we can fight climate change. Because, you know, that's what the American military is focused on, is the fight against the war against climate change. So she says regarding this critical conversion to electric vehicles, she says the challenge is that most of the advancement is happening in China. China. That's, you know, batteries and electric vehicles and, you know, the fight against climate change. Most of the advancements are happening in China. And if we don't follow, says Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen, if we don't follow, we will be left behind. Says number two over at the Pentagon, not to put too fine a point on it, but yeah, number two. She says, if we don't follow, we'll be left behind, leaving those of us who served in the military and have some idea what it's for. Follow what, Kathy? I'm sorry, is it Kathleen or is it just number two? We can go with whatever you prefer. Follow what, Kathleen? Follow who? Follow China? Is that what you're saying? Kathleen, sit down. Come over here, young lady. Sit down. Are you sure? Well, we don't know. It could be Kathleen could simply identify as Kathleen at this point. So we'll just call her number two. Number two, come on, sit down. Number two, are we supposed to believe that China is dedicated to converting its military to electrical vehicles in order to fight climate change, and that they're putting that ahead of their interest in global military domination? Is that what you think, Kathleen? I'm sorry, number two. What's your preferred pronoun? Just two? Deuce? I don't know. Help me out here, Kathy. You know what's startling and ominous, actually, is that number two at the Defense Department might actually believe that China's interest primarily is converting their military to electric vehicles. And she may not really have on her main radar the idea of, you know, global military domination, as far as the Chinese are concerned. And her main concern is we need to catch up with China in our conversion of military vehicles to electric vehicles. If we don't follow, we'll be left behind, says number two at the... all right. Nothing to worry about, though. It's not like communist dictatorships have ever wanted to conquer the world. It's the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney. And Europe, by the way, riots in the streets. Europe is, people are burning things and beating the police. And not over, not because they're communists trying to topple a Western democracy or a free market economy. No, it's not all that. It's that they can't take the tyrannical lockdowns anymore. Not that I advocate violence in the face of governing officials putting their boot on your neck and locking you in your house. I don't advocate violence. But it's happening in Europe. Finally, the socialist tyrants, it's almost as if they've wanted to push people into violence. It's almost like that. Now, I wouldn't ever accuse socialist tyrannical maniacs of wanting there to be civil unrest and violence. Far be it from me to ever think that could ever happen. But it's almost as if the dictators, either purposely or just through their own self-absorbed distraction by satisfying their own appetites and lusts, they're just up there sucking down champagne and lobster and filet mignon, and they don't even realize what they're doing. That's quite possible. They don't realize that they're pushing the average Joe into wanting to kill them because they won't take the boot off Joe's neck. And Joe can only take so much. So anyway, Europe may be on the brink of civil war, possibly, over these tyrannical lockdowns. But folks, don't worry. It's not like a war ever, you know, erupted in Europe that killed tens of millions of people or anything like that. I mean, nothing like that's ever started in Europe before. So probably nothing to worry about on that. Don't be a conspiracy theorist. So we go from there to the Just System file where Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted. Or I believe I should say he was found not guilty on all counts. Just another random act in a mindless system, I'm convinced. The overwhelming evidence from day one of the trial, from day one, from the prosecution's case, was laughable toward the prosecution. So the acquittal happens and we're waiting for Kenosha to burn, but Kenosha doesn't burn. In fact, there's a riot in Portland, Oregon. That's right. The day after the trial, the day after Kyle Rittenhouse's acquittal, according to Town Hall, a crowd of violent, destructive agitators began to breach the gate into the Multnomah County Detention Center in downtown Portland. Police faced off with rioters who threw urine? They threw urine, alcoholic beverages, water bottles, and batteries at the police. Sergeant Vehicle's rear window was smashed, and additional vandalism was done to the Justice Center building in Portland, Oregon, approximately 1,000 miles from Kenosha, Wisconsin. Graffiti was painted on the wall that said, "All cops are Kyles." All cops are Kyles. So all this destruction happens in Portland, Oregon. There has been one terrorist arrested so far. Only one insurrectionist arrested so far as we went to air here at the Weekly Worldview. And so why did it take the jury 3 days to come up with such an obvious verdict? I'm convinced they were waiting for a cold front to come through. They were watching the weather, I think, because God has a very sophisticated way of stopping riots. You know what he does? He freezes the city. That's right. Why was there a riot in Portland? Because it was 50 degrees in Portland, and it was freezing in Kenosha, and terrorists, apparently insurrectionists, they don't do all that well in the cold. And so they rioted out in Portland, and Kenosha stands. Well, what's left of Kenosha is still standing. All cops are Kyles. I like that. I think there are police departments who should adopt that as a tagline. Our cops are Kyles, meaning if you mess with us, we will blow your brains out in the street. We will splatter your brains and guts all over the street if you terrorize our city and start fires and all of that. So, all cops are Kyles. See, the left tends to lash out with derogatory statements, and then we adopt them because the left is so backwards that their insults against us turn out to be encouragement, like all cops are Kyles. I like it. All right, here's something I don't like. This is about the fact that King County in Washington State, Seattle, now has what they call a walking bus program for their county employees. Yes. Downtown residential areas to the bus station, they have to have a security escort to guard them and protect them from the insurrectionists who want to, at the very least, inconvenience them, quite possibly injure or kill them. Here's the announcement made by the Kings County Courthouse Employees Organization or whoever. Employees will meet at the 4th Avenue entrance this week because the 3rd Avenue entrance has been closed due to a large and dangerous homeless camp. If that means if you want to walk from your house to the bus, first of all, avoid the large, dangerous homeless camp where you might be killed, and then meet the security detail at the 4th Avenue entrance, and then we'll try to get you to the bus so that you're not injured or killed on your way to work. Guards will also escort county employees to various garages and bus stops in the downtown area. Private sector employees, by the way, are on their own. All private sector employees need to be Kyles. You might want to pack some heat if you're trying to walk to work or to the bus stop in Seattle. And then you think, so, I mean, I laugh at this, sort of, but it's not a humorous thing. Listen to this. A 911 call happened this 2 weeks ago. A 13-year-old Seattle teenager called 911 because his father was dying in their apartment. He was suffering a medical emergency. Normally, in Seattle, when you call 911, the response is in a matter of seconds or minutes. There is an ambulance on the way. But the immediate response in Seattle was delayed. Why? Because the people driving the EMTs in their ambulance had to wait for police before they could go into the neighborhood because the neighborhood had been flagged as unsafe for Seattle Fire Department personnel to enter. And so while the ambulance waited to enter for the police to clear the area as if it were a war zone, the 13-year-old kid who called 911, his father died on the floor in their apartment while they waited for the battle zone to be cleared. So it's not funny in a ha-ha way at all. What's happening? The insurrection that's happening in Seattle and elsewhere. More from the insurrection file. The head of Black Lives Matter met with the New York mayor, which right there, this new mayor, Eric Adams, this guy is a leftist piece of garbage. A leftist piece of garbage, less than one notch above the deviant, pervert piece of filth mayor of New York City, whom he replaces, whose name I can't even remember. Some communist pothead loser is now not the mayor of New York. Instead, it's this guy, Eric Adams, who gives lip service to the police department and keeping people safe, but he's a left-wing piece of garbage. Not fit to sweep the bathroom of a shoe store. And he's the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams. He actually met with the head of Black Lives Matter. Right there alone, that's it. You're disqualified. When Eric Adams met with the head of Black Lives Matter a couple of weeks ago, the head of Black Lives Matter brazenly warned him that there will be bloodshed if anything that de Blasio put in place changes, as far as the police department and the defunding and all of that stuff. Fox News goes on to name the head of Black Lives Matter New York, which, again, that disqualifies Fox News from being a legitimate news agency. The fact that you name the terrorists who are leading an insurrection against the country and give them any credibility, and then Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, meets with them as if they're anything more than criminals. These people should be hiding in caves. The leader of Black Lives Matter New York should be hiding in a cave somewhere in New Jersey, desperately hoping that the police don't find him. Instead, he's meeting with the mayor. They say the meeting was tense and it turned into a shouting match. That's just unbelievable. Eric Adams, by the way, Fox News reports dutifully. Fox News reporting on Eric Adams. We wins the election. It's a win for the Republicans. Conservative mayor there in New York. He's considered a moderate. He offered a business-friendly approach to the management of New York City. And despite the fact that we're reporting that it's a conservative victory, Mr. Eric Adams, the new mayor, describes himself as a progressive. So anyway, this guy is, you know what Eric Adams is? That's the new mayor of New York who talked tough. Remember during the election? He had people on Fox News standing up and cheering for the guy. He's a left-wing communist maniac. And who's that slug on Sunday morning for Fox News? Well, as Fox News Sunday. Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace drooling all over himself over this guy. Anyway, Eric Adams is a business-friendly communist. He's the new age politician in the mold of the Chinese Communist Party. That's exactly what he is. That's exactly where we're headed, folks. State capitalism, where a naked communist who promises that you can at least be in your house without being assaulted by criminals, that somehow makes him a conservative. Folks, that's the promise that the mafia makes. Hey, you know, we're going to take care of you. You'll be safe in your house, you know. That's the promise that the Bolsheviks made, that they would stop the criminals from breaking into your house and stealing your stuff and pillaging you. And the Russian people ended up making the deal with the communists because the criminals were out of control. That was one of the elements of the Soviet Revolution, was that the people were being terrorized by criminals. And the Bolsheviks came in and said, oh, we'll take care of it. We'll make sure that your windows aren't broken, you know. Just come on along with us. Yeah, all right. So anyway, that's where we're headed, folks. And Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, is a model of the new politician who's just sad. Meanwhile, we go to the widespread reality file. Widespread reality is starting to strike. They got a story from Breitbart where they interview Nyasha Nodu, who lives in Zimbabwe, and he has a mask in his pocket. And the reporter asks, why do you have a mask in your pocket, Nyasha Nodu, a shop owner in Zimbabwe? He says, the mask is to protect my pocket because the police, they demand bribes if I don't have a mask. So I move around with a mask on. Because if not, the police make me pay them the bribe. So what's happening in Zimbabwe? Well, not much of anything as far as the COVID-19 pandemic. The coronavirus, according to the report from Breitbart, actually Associated Press, the coronavirus is quickly being relegated to the past. When the coronavirus first emerged, health officials feared the pandemic would sweep across Africa, killing millions of people. That's what they feared. That's what they wanted us to fear. They wanted everyone afraid. And it worked, except in Zimbabwe. The catastrophic scenario feared by health officials has yet to materialize in Zimbabwe or really anywhere else in Africa. And the scientists are confused. And well, they say, well, you know, obtaining accurate COVID-19 data is extremely difficult in Africa. And we want to warn you that the declining coronavirus trends could easily be reversed in Africa. Be afraid. Be very afraid. But the AP reports there's something mysterious going on in Africa. It's puzzling to scientists. In fact, one scientist says Africa doesn't have the vaccines or the resources to fight COVID-19, but somehow they seem to be doing better than, you know, like the West. It's confusing. It's weird. Strange. We don't understand. It's called reality. Maybe in Africa, in Zimbabwe, they're too busy trying to survive. They're trying to find food and water. They're too busy with that to be bamboozled by a cold virus that scares primarily rich Western suburban baby boomers who've rarely even experienced discomfort, let alone anything approaching suffering. And besides, the governments in Africa, they have no need for a vehicle by which to install tyranny. They've already got it. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Welcome back. I want to, a new poll, as if we care about new polls, but sometimes the polls are indicative of the mindset of the masses, and we have to be careful of the masses. A new poll shows that a slim majority of Americans believe parents should have the final say in their children's education. So first of all, a slim majority believe parents should have the final say. That should terrify everyone. So that's number one. Number two, a majority believe parents should have the final say, yet they still send their kids to a government school complex that virulently disagrees with that opinion. And yet they take their kids I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Well, no, I do. It's because the masses are generally wicked, corrupt, stupid, and lazy. I know I'm supposed to stand up and say, well, the American people know what's best. Well, I'm afraid they don't. Well, that's why we're here at the Weekly Worldview. We're here to help. From the widespread tyranny file over in Austria, Austria is about to reimpose a full coronavirus lockdown this autumn. Hey, there it is again. They're calling it coronavirus and not COVID-19. What's going on here? Has somebody changed the talking points? I remember when they changed it from coronavirus to COVID. I was very annoyed. And now they're changing it back to coronavirus. Anyway, they're going to mandate the entire population get vaccinated in Austria. Austria, where Adolf Hitler was from. I'm sorry, I don't want to offend anybody. Don't be worried, folks. It's fine. Nothing terrible and tyrannical has ever come out of Austria. It'll be fine. Anyway, we have a a quote from what Yahoo News calls this person the conservative chancellor of Austria. Says, quote, increasing vaccination rates are imperative. I think we all agree on this. This is our only way out of this vicious circle of virus waves and lockdowns. Once and for all, we don't want a fifth wave, do we? A fifth wave? Excuse me, Mr. Chancellor? Is Austria experiencing a fifth wave? How many waves have we been through here in America? I remember there was the initial, remember where the Javits Center was empty and the boats, remember all that, right? But then for some reason, we all went for a second wave in the fall, and then this spring there was a third, and then that's right, this summer there was the fourth, and now, yeah, he's right, the fifth wave. Wow. Anyway, the lockdown there in Austria, where everything's fine, the lockdown start on Monday. Because, you know, the chancellor there says we want to avoid a fifth wave and once and for all, we want to stop this virus. And he says, I think we all agree. Mr. Chancellor, we do not all agree, right, that you need to lock everyone in their house to stop an aerosol respiratory virus. In fact, you need to be arrested right now. You're obviously out of your mind. Meanwhile, so that's Austria. Over in Germany, their health minister says that lockdowns cannot be ruled out, even for the vaccinated. Greece, Slovakia, Germany, the Czech Republic are all planning some form of lockdown for the coming weeks. And over in the United Kingdom, Great Britain, England, Prime Molester Boris Johnson. I'm sorry. Did I say Prime Molester Boris Johnson? I meant Prime Minister. I'm sorry. Prime Minister Boris Johnson warned that the Brits better get in line with their vaccines to avoid winter restrictions. Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm telling you, folks, it's not going to end. This is the end of Western civilization staring us right in the face. And you know what this reminds me of? We were in a restaurant the other day. Not a restaurant, really. Really a hole in the wall. Basically, it's the equivalent of a food truck that just is parked all the time. It's a dingy, grubby, fairly dirty place, but the food is fantastic. So we're standing in the waiting for our food, and there's a husband and wife at the table. The wife goes to the bathroom. While the wife is at the bathroom, the husband spends the whole time looking at pornography on his phone until the wife comes back, and then it's as if life is normal. Folks, the men of the West are going to trade Western civilization away for the opportunity to glance at pornography on their phone anytime they want. That is the end of Western. Why are none of the men standing up? Why is everybody just putting on the mask and the muzzle and just going along? That's why. It's because the morals have become so corrupted and the people are so addicted to just satisfying their own petty little lusts that they're willing to lose everything just for that. And not only are they willing, they're going to. They're going to willingly hand over the lives of your children and mine over to tyrants, dictators, murderers, and molesters so that they can entertain their insatiable appetite for entertainment and pornography and sports and I'm just telling you, folks. All right, meanwhile, before, I don't want to depress you too much, okay? I don't want to depress you too much. So I'm going to tell you what I also saw at a restaurant this past week. And this was a nicer place, not upscale, just a diner, right? We're just at a diner. And we're in the outdoor area, and it's kind of a patio. It's very nice, a little cold, but it was very nice. And we're sitting at our table, and the maitre d' comes in and says, we have a party of seven. We have a party of seven. What are we going to do? We got to get the tables together. And so the busboy... he grabs one table, sets it up, grabs a second table, butts it up against it, grabs a third table, butts it up against it, and he puts his hands on top of the table and he feels the tables for the wobble. Have you ever done this? You sat down at a dingy diner and the table wobbles? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it happens all the time. It happens almost every time. Mm-hmm. Well, this busboy felt the tables, gave him the wiggle, right? He starts picking up the tables and adjusting the little foot knob on the bottom of the table. Just put it down, wobble, up, pick it up, adjust, push down, wobble. Oh, it's the other one, adjust it, push it down, until none of the three tables wobbled. This busboy picked up the tables a half a dozen times, adjusting different knobs until he got none of the tables to wobble. It was inspirational. I haven't seen anything like that, I don't think, in my entire adult life. As far as just customer service and just caring about what you do. It was amazing. I mean, I felt like a flag was going to unfurl and the Star Spangled Banner was going to start playing. It was amazing. Anyway, I went and shook the kid's hand. I went and I said, do you own this place? He laughed. And I said, well, you know what? You work like you do. And so you are going to go far in life, young man. And just what an inspiration. So anyway, we're still out there, folks. There are people like us who are normal, who care. There are. And so all is not lost, unless you want to go see the doctor. From the Dim New World File, visiting the doctor's office. Okay. So this is a story as reported on the RonPaulInstitute.org. And so I'm sure that if you've listened to the show regularly, you understand what kind of difficulties I've had in the doctor's office from time to time during this current hysteria, this mania that has swept the world and has swept up medical professionals extremely efficiently. The world of medicine has gone along with this coronavirus hysteria and mania more efficiently than pretty much any other industry I'm aware of outside of maybe the airlines. But going to the doctor's office is going may get much more difficult. Forget just the masks and the fear mongering, right? And the hitting you in the head, the shooting you in the head with the infrared, right? The infrared tattoo gun. No, what is it? I'm sorry, it's a thermometer, right? And just scaring you and every time they touch you, they wash their hands with that alcohol laden hand sanitizer. Like, you walk in the room, they start squirting that stuff on their hands. So it's already uncomfortable, right? But Ron Paul Institute reports that more informed people are increasingly questioning the competence and rationality of their doctors. That's right. Normal people are starting to notice, my doctor's insane. I know. I started noticing it about a year and a half ago when I walked out of my asthma doctor and I told him, you're crazy. I'm not going to do this anymore. I am out of here. So I started. Now other people are noticing. And Ron Paul Institute, the reporters there say it may become worse because soon the advice of the American Medical Association is going to be adopted by your doctor and they have new published guidance. And folks, the word published guidance should scare the hell out of you. Published guidance means that's what the doctor is going to do, even if it kills you. I've discovered that doctors are not necessarily all that smart. They're good at school, and they're good at checking off a list of instructions and following them to the letter. And so if that list of rules includes stuff that will hurt you, harm you, make you sick, or kill you, most doctors will simply do it. And they've been doing it, by the way, with the CDC guidelines on how to treat people at the hospital with coronavirus. Doctors have been checking off every box as people die left and right from a cold virus. Anyway, it may become worse. That new guidance is coming. And this new guidance, by the way, is new guidance to advance health equity, a guide to language, narrative, and concepts. That's right. So now, in addition to the fact that doctors have been blinded by a COVID mania into just checking off boxes and masking everybody up and just incessantly squirting hand sanitizer on everything, now your doctor's going to be concerned for health equity and language, narrative, and concepts. Yes, two examples from the new guidance. Here you go. Replace the term low-income people with people underpaid and forced into poverty as a result of banking policies, real estate developers gentrifying neighborhoods, and corporations weakening the power of labor unions. Oh, unquote. Okay, so as we've noticed before, there's a lot of additional words and syllables in there. So replace low-income people. How often is income discussed at the doctor's office, by the way? How often do you hear about income equality at the doctor's office? And if you are, maybe you should go see another doctor. Anyway, according to the guidance now, doctors are advised not to say that prospects for good health are limited by where people live or how much money they make or the discrimination they face, because that statement is rather politically charged. Okay, who ever heard that statement at the doctor's office? Well, you know, prospects for good health are limited by where people live, how much money they make, and the discrimination they face. Doc, I was asking you to look at this boil. Give me your opinion on this lesion. I wasn't looking for a lecture on discrimination. But anyway, they want to replace that as if that was ever heard. And now they want to suggest that doctors instead tell their patients, decisions by landowners and large corporations, increasingly centralized political and financial power, wielded by a few, limit prospects for good health and well-being for many groups. Meanwhile, your pulse has stopped. And the doctor's just now noticing that you've died right there in his office because he was going off in a lecture on income equality and radical socialism and Marxism and all of that. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us, folks. We got to get right back to it. I want to make note, by the way, that my phone, I have an Android phone. My Android phone, I mean, I felt like it forced me into an update because the screen kept popping up saying update, 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 update. And I mean, you can only resist for so long, and finally you're like, fine, update it at 2 o'clock in the morning. Leave me alone. So anyway, it forces me in this update, right? And then after it's updated, I've got all these apps on my phone. A couple of innocuous little games in solitaire, and then TikTok. What the hell is TikTok doing on my phone? I didn't download TikTok. Anyway, I uninstalled it, but I'm convinced now that it's not uninstalled. I'm convinced that TikTok is yet another surveillance tool of the Chinese Communist Party, along with Zoom. And so it's on my phone now forever. I had to go to some kind of forensic electrician to get this thing off my phone. Forensic software. I don't know. Can you get the TikTok off my phone? He'll probably say no. You have to throw the phone into a fire is the only way to so that TikTok will stop watching whatever you're doing. My daughters, they have iPhones and they have iPads. And they avoid update. All of them have update warnings on their phones or their iPads that are well over a year old. Various programs say you've got to do your update. The iOS says update. My daughters are like, no. So what we don't. Why would we need an update? What we have is working fine. And so the big tech keeps hitting them with the message. Well, if you don't get the update, you're not going to have the latest in the. And my daughters are like, well, what we started with 7 years ago was good. We don't really want the latest. In fact, we don't want your update. And somehow my daughters are able to resist the demand that they update, update, update. Do the update. You've got to get the update. All right. So from there we go. Well, we've gone to the doctor's office where syllables and additional words will replace actual health care as we spin into a downward cycle, into state capitalism or communism or a bloodbath where 100 million people die. That's where we're headed, folks. And we're headed there at an increasing rate of speed every single day. And the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict, I'm sorry, folks, that's nothing to celebrate. It's a random act in a mindless system hell-bent on suicide, murder, and self-destruction. The godless communist maniacs have been allowed to take their masks off, walk out in public, and then make everybody wear a mask, oddly enough. So we move into the fantasy government file, where now there's a government that operates by fantasy. And fantasy is dangerous, ladies and gentlemen, because if fantasy eventually collides with reality, with calamitous results. So what's the latest fantasy? Remember the last fantasy was Joe Biden said, oh, the ports, there's a problem at the ports. Well, I'm just going to demand and I'm going to order that they operate 24/7. At which point everyone looked at him and said, are you out of your mind? No, actually, everyone looked at him as if he was serious and that he could make that happen. Well, now the USDA says that they're going to increase the rate of the slaughter of pigs in order to ease the meat crisis and the inflation. That's right. Now, the latest consumer price index, according to Zero Hedge, shows that meats, poultry, fish, and eggs, the inflation rate has been dramatic starting in October. Consumers are uncomfortable. So when consumers become uncomfortable, there's a poll, it makes it on the news, and then the politicians stand up and say, well, we're going to do something about it. So what are they going to do? Well, a statement from the U.S. Department of Agriculture spokeswoman Kate says the USDA has a program to increase the processing of pigs and faster slaughtering. So the USDA is going to increase the rate of pig slaughtering by stating that the rate is going to increase according to this program. That's right. It's a trial program, by the way, that will allow the USDA to observe if increased slaughter times increases the output of pork. So the USDA is going to have a trial to see if killing the pigs faster results in more output. And then they're going to declare that they have the ability to increase the rate of slaughter and the rate of pork output.
as if the United States Department of Agriculture has the power to actually affect the rate of production, which is a fantasy. So most of the people who process food in the United States of America, they spend a relatively little amount of time outsmarting the USDA regulations designed to inhibit the production of food. So the free market spends a relatively small amount of time figuring out a workaround around these stupid rules so they can produce as much food as they can to make as much money as possible. That's what we do in the private sector. But the USDA thinks that they control the production of food. And so they have this fantasy that they're going to control inflation by simply declaring that there's going to be more food production because, after all, we're in charge of that, aren't we? We're the USDA. I'm spokeswoman Kate. I control the food supply. Uh-huh. All right, Kate, we'll see how that works out. Now, meanwhile, speaking of the criminally insane, we go to the criminal insanity file. I'm going to post this picture on my blog today. Because Oregon Governor Kate Brown is a criminally insane maniac, delusional, dangerously crazy person who's in charge of a state in America, and that's terrifying. She makes it onto the Worldview this week because she recently dropped all reading, writing, and math proficiency standards for high school graduation. So to graduate high school in Oregon, you need to know nothing, according to Governor Kate. Why? Because, well, it was unfair to people of color. So implying that people of color have a problem with reading, writing, and math, which that seems racist to me, but it doesn't matter if she's racist because she's wearing a mask. By the way, she also mandated that masks will continue to be worn indoors and outdoors, regardless of vaccination status. Those are the words of her dictate. Or I think they call it a diktat. Her diktat reads, masks are mandated to be continually worn indoors and outdoors, regardless of vaccination status. So she could have just said, masks are mandated to be worn. That's it. That covers it. But no, indoors and outside, regardless of vaccination status. Because insane, maniacal leftists, they need a lot of extra words and syllables because they're not really sure of what they're saying. Because deep down in their black little cinders of a heart, they know they're crazy. So this mask mandate and this dropping of all standards to graduate high school from Governor Kate Brown, it's a cry for help. She wants someone to come and put a straitjacket on her and throw her into a van and take her somewhere where she can get some help. How do we know this? Well, I'll post the picture from the conservative treehouse where the author says, look, here's a picture of Kate Brown. You cannot convince me these are stable-minded people. The author says, look at this picture. This is what weird people do. And I'm sorry that this is not television. Actually, I'm not sorry. I detest video. I detest television. I like the spoken word myself. But I'll post this picture so you can all look. I'll post this bizarre picture of Kate Brown in her custom holiday mask that, I mean, okay, so it's flowers with a snow globe with a reindeer inside mounted on the front of her face as if it's a mask, which is bizarre enough already. How does she get that thing to stay on her face? I don't know. Now, if her granddaughter made this for her for the holidays, then that kind of, I could almost understand why she would wear it in public, but I would, you know, I'd take her aside after the photo op and I'd say, Kate, you need your granddaughter to be taken out of whatever madhouse in which she's being abused that would cause her to make this holiday mask contraption and then ask you to wear it. First of all, get your granddaughter out of that situation. We have authorities we can call who could send someone. But the fact that she would wear this in public, in fact, I'm going to guess her granddaughter did not make this for her. I am going to guess that Governor Kate ordered her staff to stay up late and make the mask for her. That's my guess. And I'll post the picture so that you can see Kate Brown's holiday psycho, I'm crazy, help me please mask. I'll post the picture so you can see it. My description cannot do it justice. We go from there to reason number 1,225 to get her keep your children out of the government schools. Connecticut parents are upset. They claim that the school district is indoctrinating their elementary school kids about transgenderism. And the parents' response to that is to be upset. They're upset because West Hartford Public Schools are teaching their children about transgenderism, sexual deviancy and corruption that even adults shouldn't be exposed to. And the parents are upset that they're not being allowed to opt their children out. Well, we're thinking there would be an opt-out to, like, the sexual molestation part. Oh, there's no opt-out? That's upsetting. So they're upset. In fact, they've started an organization, Parents Defending Education. Okay, so Mom, Dad, sit down. The organization needs to be Parents Fleeing Education. Parents Fleeing the Government Schools. That should be the name of your organization. And your only message is get your children out. Get out. Follow us. Run. Flee. Run to the hills. Get away from the child molesters. That's what you're... But no, it's parents. Instead, the name of their organization is Parents Defending Education instead of Parents Fleeing and Remaking Sane Education somewhere else far away from the child molesters. I know, that's too many words. It should just be Parents Fleeing Education. Or maybe Parents Fleeing the Schools. That would be. But no, it's not. They're upset because of a book called Introducing Teddy, right? This is their second graders, right? In the book... The story goes, the storyline says that Teddy's been afraid to say, and then you don't want to hear what Teddy's going to say. Teddy's a teddy bear in the book. As soon as it says Teddy's been afraid to say something, you just want to close the book. I don't want to hear it. Anyway, Teddy refers to the fact that maybe he's a girl Teddy and not a boy Teddy, and I wish my name was Tilly and not Thomas the Teddy. At which point you realize some books should be burned. Uh-huh. We have a spokesman for Parents Defending Education. These are the upset parents there in Connecticut. Their spokesman, Erica, says, "The fact that parents are not permitted to opt their children out is so sinister. It's hard to believe it's even legal. There's no opt out." Can you believe it? Erica, there is an opt out, Mom. Flee the schools. Get away from the child molesters. There. It's pretty simple advice, Erica. You don't even need to start a 501c3 or raise any money to just say get out. From there, we go to reason number 1,226 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Parents in Florida, yes, have filed a lawsuit. That's right. They filed a lawsuit after their school. Well, according to the article from the Washington Examiner, their school directed their child to pursue a gender transition without notifying the parents. So the parents are named January and Jeffrey Littlejohn, and they live in Tallahassee, where they fed their child into the Deer Lake Middle School molestation program, psychological at best, where their 13-year-old daughter was enrolled. And the school failed to notify them that their daughter had entered a school-sanctioned gender transition plan. So in the middle school, the school has a sanctioned gender transition plan that it can execute upon a child. So someone should be kicking the doors in at the school and arresting people. Who's in charge of this? Anyway, they go through a number of things that happen that... Anyway, I can't even go on because it's astonishing to me that everyone hasn't woken up at this point, and I'm not sure what we can do. The school claimed that gender discrimination laws barred them from informing the parents about meeting with their daughter about changing her sex from female to male unless the child authorized the parents to be there. So, folks, this is right out of the Soviet Union, except for the sexual perversion. The Soviets were not this corrupt. The Soviets were interested in money and power and control, but they were not interested in raping and molesting the children. So what we have here in the government schools is the combination of tyrannical communist dictatorship, but also with, oh, by the way, we want to rape and molest the children too. Which, if you think about the long arc of human history, was the natural progression to be expected from the communist degenerates in their next iteration. They don't just want to murder and control everyone and steal all their money. They also want to rape the children, which was to be expected. Let's see. Where do I want to finish here? Oh, from the Bill Maher is blushing file, Dave Portnoy, the head of Barstool Sports, appeared on an episode of Candace with Candace Owens on Fox News this past week. Dave Portnoy is basically a jock moron who's been elevated to some sort of conservative because he raised money for people who were being terrorized by the government and forced out of business. So Dave Portnoy does something that's respectable and decent, but nothing really laudable. And now everyone thinks he's some sort of conservative paragon. And Dave Portnoy's a sports guy. Sports guys are idiots. They're useful for what? Nothing. Basic entertainment for the ignorant, stupid masses obsessed with satisfying their own pathetic appetites and lusts. That's how Dave Portnoy's made his living until he was turned into a conservative when the whole world went so insane left that even a slug like Dave Portnoy appears to be somewhat conservative. Anyway, he's been outed as basically a serial fornicator. He's been outed by Business Insider that he does all kinds of things that used to be frowned upon with women to whom he's not married all the time. And so they exaggerated, the folks at Business Insider, they exaggerated the story. And so Dave Portnoy is now fighting back against them because he says, look, all the claims they made, I can explain what actually happened with each of the women. And he goes on Candace Owens' show. By the way, Candace Owens is portrayed as some sort of conservative matron in the conservative community. She has Dave Portnoy on. He defends his serial fornication. And basically he comes on Candace's show and says, look, I'm a shameless serial fornicator, but so what, Candace? It's not as bad as they said. I never raped anybody. And Portnoy does the show, and he's never criticized by Candace Owens, who, again, she pawns herself off as some sort of conservative matron, but in fact, she's just another urinalist. Candace Owens turns out to be just another urinalist willing to toe the company line when it comes to fornication on the right, because the right's gone left and the left's gone totally criminally insane, and that's the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio and at American Right to Life and my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the studio. And if the Lord tarries, we'll return next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.